So you're looking for a gig? Here's a gig. I mean, imagine if one day you get a call. Hello? Hello? Oh, for heaven's sakes. For heaven's sakes, right? It's His Holiness, the Dalai Lama. Let me put this on speaker. What did you say you want to share?
Everybody is rushing, making money. And we believe if you have money, all problem can solve. That's wrong. Money important, but at the same time, there's no point to neglect about our inner values. That's very important.
Inner values. Well, sounds good, but why are you telling me this, Your Holiness?
Pay more attention about our inner ability in order to achieve calm mind.
Yes, we must achieve a calm mind.
When we face these things, instead of solving through using force, not that kind of response, but how to solve these differences through dialogue.
Ah, okay. Here's a suggestion. How about I come up with some kind of a map of the emotional states of human beings to help them find their way to this inner peace, something like an atlas. Look, I like it. I'll get started right away. And you know, this imagined conversation actually happened between His Holiness and Dr. Paul Ekman, a veteran psychologist, professor emeritus at the University of California, San Francisco. Ekman has been studying people's emotions as a scientist for nearly 60 years now. And the Dalai Lama hired Ekman and his daughter Eve to come up with an atlas of emotions, or a map of the mind, to literally help people find their way through their emotions and become more aware of their inner selves. More than 80 million people have visited the website since it went up this month. President Obama is said to be a fan. It's all about emotions, but its goal, of course, I mean, the Dalai Lama, right, is world peace.
Fear, anger, disgust, sadness, enjoyment, contempt, a difficult word for an emotion that I got a lot of evidence for its universality. And surprise. Now, surprise is the only emotion that's hedonically neutral. When you're surprised, it's not clear whether that's a positive or a negative feeling. Depends on what happens afterwards, what was surprising you.
So surprise can lead to fear or enjoyment.
Yes.
Right.
Or boredom.
Or boredom. Do these seven universal emotions behave like axioms, like sort of primary colors? Or are they very, very different from that?
They're really very different, very distinct. Earlier in my research, I considered the possibility that they might blend one into another and you might feel two or three at the same moment. That doesn't seem to be the case when you actually look at people's behavior. You could switch from one emotion to another in a fraction of a second, but you don't experience two emotions simultaneously. You may go back and forth between two emotions so quickly that you think you're having a blend, but blends don't really exist in actuality.
Yeah, thinking about that, I think you're right. You know, we blend a lot of things, X amount of this and X amount of that, but you really can't blend emotions. You're either in that state or you're not in that state, which is, I guess, why they're so powerful.
It certainly is one of the reasons. Well, they command and run our behavior for at least a moment or two.
The idea of an atlas of the mind or an atlas of our emotions, our personality, what does that entail?
Well, it entails making us aware of really the complexity of this very intimate part of ourselves. People would like to be able to choose what they feel, when they feel it, and how they act when they have a particular feeling. And emotions don't enable that. But the first step, of course, is to become aware of what it is you are feeling. Usually we're not aware of what we're feeling until afterwards or until somebody says, "What are you upset about?" And then we realize, "Oh, I guess I am upset." So awareness isn't a built-in to emotions, in fact, just the opposite. And if we want to have choice, then we have to develop that awareness. And the atlas is, we call it an atlas because it's a collection of four different maps, each map showing you different features of how emotions work.
What did you begin studying that got you on your way to being confident enough to render an atlas of emotions when asked about the Dalai Lama?
My first publication on this topic was in 1957, so I've been at this a long time. I began by looking at stress, but that word doesn't really tell you what is stressing you, so it's too vague a word. It wasn't until the middle 60s that I started thinking and doing research on specific emotions. My focus was on what we could see, and the face is our best tool. We can learn more about how someone is feeling from their face than from a MRI. The beginning of interest in this was when in the late 60s, I got the first fairly robust evidence that at least five, perhaps seven emotions are universal to our species. It doesn't matter where you are, who you're seeing. When someone is feeling fear, you'll see the same display on their face.
Does the Dalai Lama want us to be more objectively aware of our mind and how it works, or does he in fact prefer that we're engaged and integrated with our mind and not maybe watching ourselves as we do and feel things?
Well, he said to me that when we wanted to get to the new world, we needed a map to get there. His belief, and on this I completely agree with him, that by introducing awareness, we introduce choice. And it's only when we're unaware of what we're feeling that we act without choice or consideration in sometimes regrettable ways. If we had a map of our emotions, that might help us get to a more calm state of mind.
If everyone is acting this way, you know, the Dalai Lama would say we're, you know, on our way to world peace. It's a pretty lofty goal.
Why not have lofty goals?
Well said. Dr. Paul Ekman, thank you so much.
Been a pleasure.
Dr. Paul Ekman is a psychologist who helped produce the website Atlas of Emotions.